Our reading this morning is taken from Exodus chapter 40, verses 1 to 16 and verses 33 to 38. Setting up the tabernacle. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Set up the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, on the first day of the first month. Place the Ark of the Covenant Law in it, and shield the ark within the curtain. Bring in the table and set out what belongs on it. Then bring in the lampstand and set up its lamps. Place the gold altar of incense in front of the Ark of the Covenant Law and put the curtain at the entrance to the tabernacle. Place the altar of burnt offering in front of the entrance to the tabernacle, the tent of meeting. Place the basin between the tent of meeting and the altar and put water in it. Set up the courtyard around it and put the curtain at the entrance to the courtyard. Take the anointing oil and anoint the tabernacle and everything in it. Consecrate it and all its furnishings, and it will be holy. Then anoint the altar of burnt offering and all its utensils. Consecrate the altar, and it will be most holy. Anoint the basin and its stand, and consecrate them. Bring Aaron and his sons to the entrance to the tent of meeting, and wash them with water. Then dress Aaron in the sacred garments, anoint him and consecrate him, so that he may serve me as priest. Bring his sons and dress them in tunics, anoint them just as you anointed their father, so that they may serve me as priests. Their anointing will be to a priesthood that will continue throughout their generations." Moses did everything just as the Lord commanded him. Then Moses set up the courtyard around the tabernacle and altar and put up the curtain at the entrance to the courtyard. And so Moses finished the work. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses could not enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. In all the travels of the Israelites, whenever the cloud lifted from above the tabernacle, they would set out. But if the cloud did not lift, they did not set out until the day it lifted. So the cloud of the Lord was over the tabernacle by day, and fire was in the cloud by night, in the sight of all the Israelites during all their travels. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much, Brenda. And now Chris is going to come talk to us about that, and afterwards he'll lead us in communion.
Thank you, Lizette.
Can we pray first?
Yeah.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for Chris, and we thank you for everything that you have blessed him to be. We pray that this morning you can be with him and give him your word to speak to us this morning. And we ask that you open our ears and hearts to hear your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lizette. Lots of bits of paper today. Is that feeding back? Sorry, that's a bit loud, isn't it? There we go, is that better? Good morning. My name's Chris. I'm one of the leaders here at Christchurch. It's lovely to be with you. I think this is the fourth week in the row, which has been an absolute delight. And just before we get into Exodus 40, I just want to bring a correction to something I said last week, which one of our church family was wonderfully helpful in pointing out. I think I said something along the lines of the church finances are flat, and what I should have said is giving over the last 6 months has been flat, which is quite a different thing. So it's wonderful that our giving is flat in that sense when there is a national trend downwards. And if you want the full details of the church finances, I encourage you to go to the website and look under the APCM, the annual family meeting page, and there's a link on there you can download, and then you can get all the detail and the sums and the spreadsheets and everything, which would be delightful bedtime reading. But I think that sense, while we touch on giving, it does relate to what we're talking about today, because it says something about us being a community of God's people and generosity being at the heart of our response to God. So do keep that in mind. Brenda, thank you so much for reading that. We skipped over a bit in the middle because in Exodus 40, it kind of goes through what God told Moses to do, and then it goes through Moses doing everything that God told him, and then you get God visiting the tabernacle. So really today, we're looking at the tabernacle, but we're looking at what does it look like to be a community of people who are focused on Jesus, whose worship is shaped by Jesus. And the reason we can relate the two is because it looks remarkably tabernacle-shaped. And so I'm just going to take us into thinking first about the tabernacle and placing that in history, and then think about our journey into where we are now and how things are quite similar and yet some foundational differences that we need to pay attention to. So this reading, this comes in the period of history where the Israelites have left Egypt. God's brought them miraculously out of slavery there, and they've crossed the Red Sea. They've wandered through the wilderness for a while, and they're camped at the base of Mount Sinai. They've still got a lot of wilderness wandering ahead of them. But in this moment, God visits them on the top of Mount Sinai. He calls Moses up, and he gives them two things. He gives them the law, and he gives them these very detailed instructions for the tabernacle. Now, we just read the summary. If you read back Exodus chapters 25 through to 30, well, right through to 40, actually, with a small break in the middle where there's that moment with the golden calf, which you can go and read for yourself. That is all the detail of the tabernacle, how it's to function, what it's going to be like, what its purpose is. And we should take account of the fact that so many chapters are given to this. And so what was it like in summary? I want to stay at the big picture level around the tabernacle here. We're not going to go into the detail of all the different bits that were in it. But just to note that there were three sections. We'll start right in the middle where you have the Holy of Holies, the place where the Ark of the Covenant was. This is the place where the manifest presence of God, so the tangible, visible presence of God, was there for the people of Israel. Surrounding that was the bit that's actually called the tabernacle. It was a tent that surrounded the inner tent. And in there were more pieces of their worship. And then around that was what's called the outer court. And different people were allowed in different places. In the Holy of Holies, only the high priest was allowed once per year. In the outer tabernacle, the Levitical priests were allowed. And in the outer court, the people of Israel were allowed, but only under quite controlled perspective. So they would come there to worship. They would bring their sacrifice. It would be a place of cleansing, a place of purification for them. Now, we have to see now how the whole camp was arranged. So you've got this outer court, the tabernacle, the Holy of Holies inside. And then around that, if we read in Numbers chapters 1 and 2, we find that the Levites were camped around the outer court to guard it. To guard it from people just absent-mindedly or intentionally just going into the outer court and potentially just going into the tabernacle. This is where the presence of God was. And then around the Levites, the 12 tribes of Israel, 3 to the north, 3 to the south, 3 to the east, 3 to the west, they surrounded. This tabernacle was right in the center of the camp. If we read in Exodus 29... God says to his people that he will dwell among them and be their God. And then they will know that he is their Lord, their God, who brought them out of Egypt. Why? So that he might dwell among them. I am the Lord, their God. And that's what we see in this picture of their whole community. Right at the center of it, God dwelling in their midst. They were a people defined distinctly from the surrounding nations, because their definition was that we are the people whom God dwells with. We're the people whose lives are literally, physically shaped by the fact that God is in our midst. And this was their act of worship. Now think about that. That means right in the midst of the everyday aspects of life. When they woke, the cloud descended, was there on the tabernacle. God was in their midst. When they went about their days, in their conversation, in the mundane tasks of the day, in the big thinking of the day, God in their midst. When they had those moments where they went to the outer courts to offer their sacrifices, to be cleansed from their sins, they came a little closer to God in their midst. When they ate together, God in their midst. When they ended their day and went to sleep, God in their midst. There is a constancy to this that we need to get hold of as we think about our lives now and how they're related to the tabernacle. Now, the first time I got a glimpse of what it was like to be in a community of people who love Jesus was when I went to one of those big Christian festivals. I was in my late teens, and I went with a bunch of people from church, some I knew well, some I knew less well. And we stayed in a collection of chalets, that would be far too grand a term. Some accommodation, rough and ready. But we stayed close to each other. And we woke in the morning, had breakfast together. We shared conversation together. We did the dishes together. We went off to times of sung worship where everyone in this place would come together, several thousand people. We went to smaller gatherings where we would learn from each other. And we ate an evening meal together. And our life for that week had this really close cycle of just being in each other's presence. And as the week went on, our conversations became more focused on how we each were with Jesus. Our encouragements to each other became more bold. And we saw emerging out of just the simple act of living our lives together in the presence of Jesus, deep friendships forming, relationships of trust and accountability. For me, that was a glimpse of a tabernacle-shaped worship. God at the center. Now, this should be unsurprising. Let's just fast forward. We'll pause in Ezekiel as we head towards the New Testament. Ezekiel, at the end of chapter 37, prophesies. This is him speaking God's words. I will make a covenant of peace with them, God's people. It will be an everlasting covenant. I will establish them and increase their numbers, and I will put my sanctuary among them forever. My dwelling place will be with them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Ezekiel speaking words not of this moment, the tabernacle, or if we go forward a little bit in history, the temple, the moment where the Levitical priests are standing between the people and God and administering their worship in a particular way. But no, Ezekiel looks ahead to a time when Jesus will come and remove the need for the Levitical priesthood and declare himself as the high priest, the great high priest of the order of Melchizedek from before
the Levitical priesthood, bringing about the means by which God can dwell, not in a tabernacle, in a tent, but in us. How does that happen? Let's turn now into the New Testament and turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. As you come to him, that's Jesus, the living stone, rejected by humans, recognizing that he was crucified, that he died for us, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him. You also, it's us, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. That is the new covenant. It's the fulfillment of the covenant that God made with the people of Israel several thousand years before, to say, I will be your God and you will be my people. I will dwell in your midst. And now he says that for eternity, I will dwell with you. And that happens in two ways. You notice Jesus is called living stone. We are also described as like living stone. So there's the first way it happens. When we choose to follow Jesus, the Holy Spirit dwells in us. And so we become individually the dwelling place of God. I mean, that's awesome as it stands, but it gets even bigger. So here, we see those living stones are being built into a spiritual house. The tabernacle was community shaped. Remember, right in the center and around it, all the tribes of Israel. This was them as a community identified, not as individuals, but as a community of people identified because God is in their midst. Now we, yes, have God dwelling in us, so each of us is living stones, but we are built together into a spiritual house. That's tabernacle shaped. That spiritual house can be related to dwelling place, God's tabernacle. It can be related to the word that's used for church, ecclesia, the people together. And what it means, if you think about, as living stones, we're not like scattered all over the place, there to do our own thing, just as one living stone sitting there saying, hey, this is great, I've got Jesus in me, but I haven't got anyone around me. As living stones, there is an intentionality in God saying, no, I'm going to take each of you, I'm going to pick you up, and I'm going to place you just where you need to be. And next to you is going to be another one, and next to you another one, and on top of you another one, and another one, and another one, and another one. And so on, these stones, us, get built together by God into his dwelling place. Now that's at two levels itself. That's all of us across the world, God's church, his people, built together into his dwelling place. But it's also here. We are this specific people God has called together for this time. Yes, this moment now with us in this building and on the live stream. This time for us in Christchurch, as God's people, to do his work. And that means that every one of us is a living stone in this part of God's building, God's spiritual house. So the little glimpse I had at that Christian festival of us being living stones together and the way that we encourage and strengthen each other, that's repeated again and again and again through history and in all these different moments across this city and across the world. And here, us, this is one of those moments, one of those places where we, as God's people, as living stones, are built by him into a dwelling place for him, in which the last bit of the picture, and we'll end with this. So as living stones built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. No more the need for the Levites to mediate between us and God. God builds us into his dwelling place and then invites us in to be the very priests who worship him in the midst of the dwelling place he's just built us into. Isn't that beautiful? It's absolutely beautiful. Now, what does that mean for us? Here, now, and as we go out that door into the rest of the week ahead and the months ahead. Just two things to think about. Firstly, where has God placed you? You're a living stone filled with his Spirit. Who are the living stones that he's placed you next to? How well do you know those living stones? What do you know about the lives of those living stones? How they think? What their hopes and dreams are? What their relationship with God is like? There's an invitation for every one of us as living stones to get to know the living stones around us that God has placed us in community with. And then the last thing, we're invited into the dwelling place that God has made us into, to worship him with the whole of our lives. That worship looks tabernacle shaped. It's yes, here in this moment as we sing from our hearts to God, as we pray prayers from our hearts, as we celebrate communion. And it's as we share coffee and conversation with each other, and as we go out those doors, still it continues. Everything from the most mundane to the most glorious acts of worship. And some might argue that those mundane moments are the most glorious. Given to God as our offering, as his holy priesthood, for that is who we are, all of us. Living stones, his dwelling place, his holy priesthood. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the beauty of your invitation to us to be your people, to worship you. And in this moment, we place our lives afresh into your hands, Father. Invite you to build us as your people, as your living stones, into your dwelling place. In Jesus' name, amen.